Good morning and welcome to Saturday, March the 2nd. How are you today? We're going to get into the teaching in just a minute, but I want to share that I'm going to be going to school this year. The cost for the school is right about $7,000 with the ministry trip. Basically, to start, I need about $6,000 to start. And then later on, the ministry trip will be another $1,000. If you want to help with that, it's tomandsarahministries@gmail.com. I'll get you the links. We take Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, Zelle, whatever you got, checks. We can do that too. Send me an email, tomandsarahministries@gmail.com, and we'll tell you how to do that. Okay, or you can DM me here on Facebook, or whatever. But I'm gonna post the address on the video, so you can go ahead and do that. And I want to thank you in advance for helping. You can also purchase my books, SOS: A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God, and also From Breakdown to Breakthrough: My Journey to Soul Health. Praise God. Yeah, so you can get both of those from me for $20, which includes shipping. You can also get them from Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and Walmart.com. All right, praise God. So I'm going to pick up on something before we go to chapter 17. I want to pick up on something we talked about yesterday, and that is if that God wants us to pray in the character, in the name, in the authority, and in the power of Jesus. Okay? And we talked a little bit yesterday about the redemptive names of God. I just kind of mentioned them, but I want to go a little deeper into them today prior to going into chapter 17 of John. So, the word Jehovah is distinctly the redemptive name of God, and it means self-existent one. It also means the one who wants to reveal himself, the personal God. You have Elohim, which is found in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He's a God who is out there, and he's out there. But the deal is that he's also Jehovah and Yahweh. Whenever you see Jehovah or Yahweh in the Bible, it means it's a way he wants to reveal himself. It is that he wants to reveal himself personally to people, to personally to you, the self-existent one who reveals himself. It deals in a personal God versus a God who's just out there like Elohim. Remember Hagar. She said that he is El Roi, the God who sees, the God who out there who sees. Okay? El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the God out there who is more than enough. Okay? It's the God who makes himself more personal, and it's very redemptive. Jehovah is very redemptive. In his redemptive relation to man, Jehovah has seven compound names or names that are associated with it, which reveals him as meeting every need in man from his lost state until the end. Okay? God meets every need of a man based on the redemption and the redemptive nature of God who reveals himself. All right? So he does it. We have the seven redemptive names of God. All right? Now, since it is his redemptive relationship to us that these names reveal, they must each point to Calvary, where we are redeemed. They all point, all the names of Jehovah point their way back to Calvary. The blessing of each name reveals revealed must be provided by the atonement. The blessing of each name that is revealed must be provided by the atonement, or the at-one-ment of the cross. Remember, the Hebrews didn't just give a name like we have. I don't remember who it was, but somebody named their child Moon Puppy. Okay, no. These are names that deal with the character. Jacob was heel grabber. Israel, one who fights with God and prevails, or strives with God and prevails. And so with these compound names of God, these redemptive names of God, this is his character and who he is in relation to us. All right? He is the God who sees. Yes, he is. He is El Roy, the God who sees me. All right? But we also have the Jehovahs, and we're going to talk about the seven Jehovahs in this lesson today before we get into chapter 17. All right. You all set? Praise God. Now we have Jehovah Shammah, the God who reveals himself as the one who is there. He says in the Bible, he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. We are not orphaned. Okay, in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, that we have been fully accepted. We have been adopted as sons. In John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, he gave the right to become, or the power to become, children of God. So now we are his children. And a man who will not take care of his family, the Bible says, is worse than an unbeliever. Are we calling God an unbeliever? Because when we are adopted into his family, we are adopted into his family. All right? Now, in Rome's time, when you are adopted, it means that you not only take on the name, but you take on his authority. You take on the authority of the one who adopted you, and you can never be disinherited. All right, we have some laws in some of the states in America, in the United States, where once you are adopted, you can never be disinherited. In other words, I can disinherit my natural children, although I won't do that, but I can never disinherit my adopted child. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. If I go to, David says in Psalm 139, if I go to heaven, behold, you're there. If I go to hell, behold, you are there. Where can I go from your presence? I can't. There's no place to go from his presence. He is the God who is there. Now, if you're ever feeling lonely, if you're ever feeling disenchanted and separated and orphaned, which it's a big thing in today's society, Jesus is saying, God is saying that he is there. He has embraced you. Does that mean that you're going to feel that he's always there? No. It just means that he is there and he loves you. We have Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. The Lord who puts us back together again. You remember the old nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. He had a great fall. All the horses and all the men could. Well, God puts us back together again. It is part of his shalom. When the Jews, especially, when they shalom you, when they say shalom, it's a greeting of hello. Yes, but there's more to it than just hi. It means may you be whole. He is the Lord, our peace. We have also Jehovah Ra'a, and we could, I don't know if it's sort of Jehovah Ra or Jehovah Ra'a. So it's, you know, excuse me. Anyway, it means Lord, my shepherd. You remember in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have any needs because the Lord is my shepherd. In John, I think we talked about it, before, that he is the good shepherd. If you hear his voice, that my sheep hear my voice. Sheep are comforted by the voice of their shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is Jehovah. He is the God who reveals himself as shepherd. Do you need a guide? Do you need somebody to protect you? Now, I know that the New Age movement and other religions have a spirit guide. Well, we're talking about God. We have the Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us. The Bible says that he leads us with his eye. He guides us with his eye. So I don't know, my dad used to do this. He used to go like that, telling the kids, you go over there. We have another Jehovah name, compound name, Jehovah, the God who reveals himself as provider. Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider, the Lord who provides. Remember Abraham, he was going up to the hill to sacrifice his son Isaac. And this is a tremendous story in Genesis. But in this moment, Abraham looks at his servants and says, the boy and I are going to go worship and we are going to come back. So he knew something about God, even though he knew that God told him to sacrifice his son. He said, we will return. So he was prophesying already the provision of God of providing a lamb. They go up to the mountain. Isaac finally gets a clue and he says, Dad, we have the fire, we have the wood, we have the altar. Where's the sacrifice? And he said, the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh, he provided. And so as Abraham was going to strike him, it's a good thing that Abraham listened to the now word of God instead of what was happening before. And he said, God said, stop. So he stops and doesn't kill Isaac. And in the bushes in the thicket was a ram. And then so he grabbed the ram and sacrificed the ram. Abraham had to know something about God, that God was going to provide a sacrifice. And in the way that Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son, the Father God had to sacrifice Jesus to buy us back on the cross. He sacrificed him on the cross to buy us back from the slavery to sin. And one of my favorite compound names of Jehovah is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our victor, our captain, our refuge. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you along the way. Blessed are those who take Nisi, or take refuge in him. Now, he's not talking about just a banner, like, you know, we have like a banner over something. His banner over me is love. No. It's deeper than that. His refuge over us is love. His banner over us, his victory over us is love. He is our victor. You see an army go in with these flags, with these so-called banners of victory. All right? And so as believers, we wrestle, we fight from a place of victory, not for victory. We're not fighting for victory. Jesus already provided it. But our battle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imagination and everything that lifts its head against the name of Jesus. He is our victor. We have victory in him. Remember this old hymn we used to sing, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." He is the Lord, our captain, the captain of the host of the Lord. Remember in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua says to him, "Are you with us or are you for our enemies?" And he says, "Neither, I'm taking over." In other words, neither, I have come as a captain of the host of the Lord. And then we have a word I can't pronounce very well, but Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is the Lord our righteousness. Now the Bible, made mention of this, the Bible says that he made him, the Father made Jesus, who knew no sin, was not intimate with sin, actually embody or become sin for us. And so when he died, the power of sin died. He took on himself the sins of the entire world, everybody that's been alive, past, present, and future. He took it on the cross. That's powerful. That's why it was so heavy for Jesus, because he did that. He became sin, the embodiment of sin. So that, Corinthians says, so that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ. So as Jesus embodied sin, we embody or we take on ourselves righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ. He is our righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Isaiah says, "All of my righteousness is like filthy rags. The things that I do to become righteous aren't worth it. But the thing that Jesus did to make me the righteousness of God is powerful." And then we have Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our physician, or the Lord, our healer. He reveals himself as healer. You do not have to stand sickness. If sickness is in your body, it doesn't belong there if you are a believer. You can take authority over it. Now, I've prayed for many people in my life to be healed. The first five people I prayed for had cancer, for healing, and they had cancer and they perished. They died. Physically, they died. And it got to a place where I didn't want to pray for healing anymore because God wasn't using me at that capacity to heal. But it didn't change who he is. This is who he is. He is healer. Now, there's been an argument, whose fault is it if they're not healed? I don't know. I remember a friend of mine, he had fourth stage esophageal cancer. You can hear his testimony on YouTube. Rick Larson is his name. Fourth stage esophageal cancer. And he was dying. He was skinny as all get out. And just basically skin and bones. And what happened was his son brought him to Bethel Healing Rooms. And he said, "I'll go, but I don't want anybody to lay hands on me. And I don't want children to pray for me." So he's sitting there waiting, and a 6 to 8 year old, I can't remember, 6 or 8 year old, came up to him and was wanting to pray for him. Now, he did say he didn't want a kid praying for him. Well, guess what? Child was praying for him. The child looked at him and said, "Do you believe that God can do this?" And he said, "No." And he goes, "That's okay. I have enough faith for both of us." The kid put his hand on his stomach, another thing he didn't want to have happen. Put his hand on his stomach. He fell out under the power of the Holy Spirit, was laying on the floor, And Jesus spoke to him and said, do you believe I can do this? And he said, no, I don't even believe in you. And he goes, that's okay, because I believe in you. And my friend Rick got up off the floor. People had just thrown money at him. He had tons of money now to help pay for some of the bills. And he got up healed of fourth stage esophageal cancer. I had another friend whose wife, his sister-in-law had fourth stage cancer. I don't know exactly. I can't remember where it was. I think it was in her digestive system. And she had a couple days to live. And she was going to fly to Chicago basically to get another assessment. And a couple days, and then she was supposed to go home and die. Well, anyway, she comes to the Bethel Healing Rooms, and they pray for her, and she's laying on the floor for a couple of hours, and we'll talk about that in a second, but laying on the floor for a couple of hours, and she gets up, her face is ashen, her face is drawn, she doesn't have any smile. She comes out, and I pray for her again. And the next morning, I asked them if they want to come to the 8 o'clock or the 10:30 service, and I was going to save them seats. They came to the 8 o'clock because they had a flight. And as they came to the 8 o'clock, she had a rosy cheeks. She had a smile on her face. Something happened in that night. And then she flies to Chicago, and they couldn't find any trace of the cancer, which is different than the cancer being gone. They didn't find a trace of it. Cancer leaves a trace, a trail, like a slug. It leaves a trail. There was no trace of it. God healed her. There was a woman who couldn't have babies. I mean, I can go on and on with these stories, but I've also had people that weren't healed. They didn't receive a miracle at that time. They received it over time. And I make declarations. I speak the word. See, we have this thing, would you pray for me for healing? Well, the question would you pray that I would be healed? The question you should ask is, teach me what the Bible says about healing. Why is that? Well, if you teach what the Bible says, Psalm 107:20, he sent out his word and he healed them. By his stripes, we were healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's in me, bless his holy name, who heals all of my diseases and forgives all my sins. He is your healer. You speak the word. All right, I remember one time I was praying, a couple times actually. I prayed one time for somebody, and they had a very ashen face. They were skin and bones. They were very anemic. And I spoke the word, you will not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord. It's in the Psalms. You will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And then God healed them over time. God healed them where they were able to regain weight. Okay? They were able to stay nourished. And the cancer in the abdomen was healed. COVID. I prayed for people with this pandemic. I prayed for people with this virus, and they got healed. I never got the virus, so praise God. In fact, the other day, Sunday night, Pastor Bill had given words of knowledge for healing. And I had three of the words of knowledge, a broken bone, a spinal cord issue, and what was the other one? I can't remember. Oh, in the neck. And so as people prayed for me, the pain in my body left almost instantly. The pain in my neck was healed. My back all of a sudden went click, 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 click. I felt the spinal cord go in order. become aligned again. And the bone in my hand, I didn't realize it, but the bone in my hand, I broke it playing basketball, and I got it caught on a guy's bicep, broke the bone in two places, and the bone floated for a number of years. This was back in 95, I think it was. And the bone had been floating for years. Well, and then I had this indentation in my hand. It's gone. So I'm assuming, believing that I haven't had it checked yet for x-ray, but it's healed. And I can't feel the bone moving anymore. And it feels strong. In Numbers 21, it says, the Lord sent out these fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many of Israel died. So the people came to Israel and said, we've sinned, came to Moses, said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against you, intercede for us. And the Lord said to make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. And it came about that when everyone who is bitten looks at it, they will live. And Moses did it. People looked and they were healed. And that is where you'll find where he says that I am the Lord who heals. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. I spent a lot of time on that. There's also a lot of time I can spend on the healing of the soul, salvation. And we're coming into that starting tomorrow. God is a healer. Declare the healing words of the Lord. Declare the verses that say that God is always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Declare the peace of the Lord. Declare the shepherd and the guiding of the Lord. Declare the verses, the provider, the victor, the refuge, the banner. Speak them out. Decree them out. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs says. And you're going to eat its fruit. Speak life. It's an act of faith. Believing God will do it. Not that God can, but that God will. Because this is his character. Amen. Well, that's it for today. We'll pick it up on Monday. We'll go into John 17. We'll talk a little bit about salvation. We'll talk about other things. But just know that it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of God, because it is the power of God who brings salvation. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Remember, please, 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 I'm asking you for donations. You know, for a donation of $20 or more, you're going to get both of my books shipped to you for free. Well, it's not going to be for free for the donation. And you can get both of my books. I'm writing two more books. One of them is called Moments with Jesus. Another one is called My Identity in Dealing with Soul Health. And I'm in the process of starting a third, which is another devotional on the Song of Solomon. So help with that, if you will. And that will be greatly appreciated. TomandSarahMinistries@gmail.com. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah. Subscribe to my podcast, Tom and Sarah. And like, comment, share these videos. These help creators. This helps to get the word out there and to get the donations out there. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you on Monday.